In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There is a very frightening question, one of the most frightening questions in all of Scripture asked today. It is in the parable about the Good Samaritan, or just before the parable. It brings about the parable of the Good Samaritan. It is when a man says, "Who is my neighbor?" That is a terrible question to ask. It is a terrible question to not know the answer to. This man, who knew the law, didn't know the answer to that question. That means he was not aware of his humanity. He was not aware of the reason for his creation and how he was created, that he was made in the image and after the likeness of God, and that he must know who his neighbor is, because his neighbor is just like him and is beloved of God. The scripture says, the quote is preceded by St. Luke saying, "But he, willing to justify himself, said to Jesus, 'Who is my neighbor?'" There's a lot of sins in the world, there's a lot of sin in the world, brothers and sisters. We sin a lot. We sin all the time. But there are some sins that are much more terrible, much more egregious than others. Any sin in which there is indifference to your fellow man, whatever level of indifference that is, whether it's just basically not caring too much, not noticing, or even hatred, those are the worst sins. Because they sin against the second and the greatest commandment, and of course, against the first. We cannot love God unless we love our fellow man. We cannot know God unless we love our fellow man. There is no grace in our life if we do not love our fellow man. Since God loves us and he loves everyone else, if we do not know that answer intimately in our heart, who is our neighbor, then we are far from the kingdom of heaven. Now, let's not be so sure that we know this answer. There is, of course, the book answer. So perhaps we could quote the parable of the Good Samaritan, and at the end it's clear that the one who helped one, the person on the side of the road, he was the neighbor. Okay, fine. That'll get you the point on the test. But do you really live it? Seems like human beings don't live according to this at all. There's racism, classism. There's the very, very poor. There's slavery. Perhaps at no time in our world's history do we have as much slavery as now. You understand that? How much slavery is going on? It's not officially, openly on our shores, but there's an enormous amount of slavery all over the world. Violence, man against man, war, hatred. Not to mention all of our petty jealousies and our lying to one another, our indifference about each other, our caring about ourselves. We even have a saying, look out for number one. Indeed, we had best be very careful and not anger God by saying that we know the answer to this question, who is my neighbor? Because you have to be answering this question every day, every moment of your life. Who is your neighbor? You have to cultivate the answer to this question. You have to let God's grace fill you so that you reach out to your neighbor. It is not an action that comes naturally to most of us. God despises indifference. The fornicator, he can be saved if he is not indifferent to his fellow man. The blasphemer, he can be saved if he is not indifferent to his fellow man. The drug addict, he can be saved if he is not indifferent to his fellow man. And the way all of those sinners can be saved is because if they are not indifferent to their fellow man, if they love their fellow man, if they care about everyone, then the grace of God can pour into their hearts and can change them. Otherwise, there is not a chance, not a chance, of the grace of God changing their hearts. This is very important for us to understand. If you have a sinful heart, God can work with you. God will help you. Absolutely. There is no doubt. But if you have a cold heart, then you are in deep distress. Problem is, most people with cold hearts don't see themselves as cold or have come to the point where they don't care about being cold. You must guard against this. This is very important. This is why I tell you to pray for others, and this is why I tell you to read the Gospels with anticipation and expectation. You need to learn this stuff over and over again. It doesn't matter how much you go and feed the poor and visit prisons. There is still something in our heart that wants to be about me and not care about others. And that is deadly. That's poison. And if it is allowed to grow even a little, it can blossom into a dark flower that will kill you with its poison. You must know who your neighbor is. Deeply in your heart, you must know. Now, how do you know that? The intellectual answer is quite easy. But in practice, if you look at the way you live your life, most of your sins are against your neighbor. Jealousy, anger, irritation, not to mention even more horrible things like plotting against someone, revenge, slander, and all the rest. Most of our sins are against our neighbor, whether they're in the way we act or just in our thoughts. So how is it that you can learn to love your neighbor? This is critical. If you don't learn this, you won't be saved. Period. If you don't learn to love your neighbor, you won't be saved. We can understand this if we understand on a theological level, on a dogmatic level, how we were created and the nature of God. And it's important to know this, at least to know it in a intuitive way. If a person is not highly theologically educated, you don't have to have a lot of theological education to know this. It doesn't take any theological understanding to know that when someone is hurting, you feel their pain and you understand their pain. You're a human being. You know what it's like to be cold or to be hurt or to be sick or to be depressed or to have a loss. It doesn't take any theological understanding at all to know that. But those who truly feel for their neighbor, they intuitively know this. We were created in the image and after the likeness of God. What that means is that we are like God. Now, we don't share in his essence, but we should share and participate in his attributes of love, compassion, holiness, purity. Indifference is not one of those attributes. Jealousy is not. Hatred is not. Anger is not. Judging is not. All of those things are contrary to who God is. And we cannot be saved if we act contrary to who God is. Now, there are basically, in my mind, in a simplistic way, two kinds of sins in the world. There's the sins because of the weakness of the flesh. We're lazy, sexually incontinent, sleep too much, things like that. Don't say our prayers like we should. But then there are those sins against our neighbor. And those sins will kill you. And the reason that we sin those sins is because each one of us cannot answer this question correctly. I mean fully. I mean completely understanding and living according to the answer of the question. The right answer is easy to say, but it is a difficult thing to live. And you must cultivate this in your life. This is why, right after this man said this terrible, frightening question, "Who is my neighbor?" the Lord talked about the Good Samaritan. Because in that parable, he discusses the nature of man and the need of man for healing. Because of, and the incarnation is said through metaphor, to heal the man. Now, all of us should be able to understand sickness because we're sick. And so, this is how you answer the question, "Who is my neighbor?" My neighbor is the person who is as sick as I am and needs God as much as I am. I need him. That's how to answer the question. And you must answer it by the way you live. Flee indifference. God will forgive all sins. But if you are indifferent, you will not open up to God. And God only forgives sins that we give to him, that we say, "Forgive me and help me." So you must be open to God. The person who does not know his neighbor is closed to God. I've told you many, many times before, don't be afraid of sin, be afraid of not repenting. And the thing that causes a person not to repent of their sins is coldness in their heart, blindness. And blindness is from indifference to your neighbor, among other things. The great fornicators can be saved. St. Mary of Egypt, for instance. Great sinners can be saved. But people who don't care about others, who live their life in kind of a bubble, they cannot be saved. So you must learn and cultivate this. Understanding that everyone is your neighbor. You should be able to sort of present before God that you care about others. Prove it. Don't prove it. You can't prove it by how many television programs you watched or books you've read or how you've advanced in your work. You can prove it by what your heart is. What does your heart feel about people? Do you really care about them? When you see somebody that's cold, do you try to help them? Do you pray for them? When you hear about something that happens to someone, do you feel diminished? Do you feel very sad? Do you pray for others or do you forget? Do you find yourself often with those sins against others like jealousy and anger and irritation? You must guard yourself against these things. God will help you with all of your sins. But he won't help you if you do not love his children. Look at what Jesus did with Peter. We just read the gospel, that 11th resurrectional gospel last night. Look at his emphasis. Peter had denied him 3 times. A terrible blasphemy. And when they were sitting and eating at the shore, the Lord says, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" He answered, "Yea." So he said, what did he say? "Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. Take care of those that I love." All sins can be washed away when we care for others. So if you can't stop sinning, then at least be kind to others. Care about others. Give of your life to others, both in terms of the things you do, the time you spend on things, and also in your prayers, and also in your substance, your pocketbook. This is very critically important. You cannot be saved unless you care about your neighbor. There is no room in Christianity, in the Christian heart, for racism, for any kind of prejudice, for any kind of hatred, for any kind of judgment. Now, this parable, which usually I go through in detail, will teach you, if you'll listen to it, how to not judge your neighbor, to understand that you are that man by the side of the road, and that God is saving you, so certainly he will save others too. Make sure you cultivate this understanding. You cannot be one with God unless you're one with your brother. It is impossible. St. John says, how can a man say he loves God whom he has not seen if he does not love his brother whom he has seen? You can't be one with God. That is salvation. There is no other salvation. There's no other type of salvation. The only salvation is unity with God. Nothing else. And the only way to have unity with God is to become like God and to love. And the major way we learn to love is by reaching out to our neighbor. Examine yourself. How much do you love your neighbor? Examine whether or not you can answer this question completely with an open heart, and you live according to that answer. It's very important. I'm telling you unequivocally, if you do not love your neighbor, you cannot be saved. You must love your neighbor, and you must consider all men to be your neighbor. Because fundamentally, theologically, when we love our neighbor, we are one with God, because God loves all. If you understand that and live according to that, then everything's going to work out. You might have terrible sins that you get into all the time, terrible habits. God will help you with all of them. Just make sure that you cultivate love in your neighbor. So I'll repeat again. If any of you are not yet in the habit of praying for people on a regular basis, do it. Write them down. Write the names down. And pray for your family. And then pray for the people that really bug you. People that you don't like. The loud person in the office. The person in your family who's always lying to people. Person who's hurt you in the past. Pray for those people. And when you come to the point that you desire their salvation as much or even more than your own, and that's possible, by the way. St. Paul made it very clear. He wished the salvation of others more than his own. Then truly, you are one with God. So make sure that you understand this question. And that you answer it correctly. Your neighbor is everyone. And you must love your neighbor if you are to be one with God. Now, this is not a threat. It is our nature to love others. Because we were made to love others. All these other sins, the jealousy and the anger and the backbiting and all those other things, not to mention the violence against others and slavery and rape and everything else. All those are sins against our basic nature, sins against God, because we are made according to the nature of God to love. So, guard yourself against those sins. Do some practical things. Pray for others. Read the gospel with expectation, anticipation, trying to glean out of it things like I'm talking about now, and find a way to love your neighbor in a practical way. I don't mean that you have to go and start serving in a soup kitchen tomorrow. Really, what you need to do is love the person that's beside you and behind you and in front of you and that you encounter at 8 o'clock and at 9 and at 11:15. That is your task. And if you love those people, then you will naturally gravitate to whatever else the Lord wants you to be doing. Whether it be working in a soup kitchen, visiting prisons, counseling those who are in need, taking those who need help to the doctor, nursing people, whatever it is. Loving your neighbor starts with the people that are right with you. If you cannot love those people, then you do not yet know who your neighbor is. So may God help us to know the answer to this question and live according to it. It gives you such freedom, because if you love your neighbor, you become like God. That's the whole point of our life, to be like Him, to have union with Him. That's not the only way to have union with Him is by responding to His grace, by loving. There's no other way. There's no other path to salvation. We respond to the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit indwelling us by reaching out to those whom He loves. Remember that. Focus on those sins more than the other sins. Don't come to confession next time and the first sin you say is, there was cheese on my salad. Come and say, I don't think I love people very much. That would be a good confession. May God help us to learn to love our neighbor. Amen.